opportunity and the privilege to continue in God's Word today. I know it's Mother's Day, but we're plodding right along in the parables of Jesus. And I've shared with you how tough it's been to preach through the parables of Jesus, because I really do feel sincerely that we read one verse and it's like skipping rocks. You guys ever skip rocks? What's the most skips you've ever gotten out of a rock? Anybody gotten a lot? Go ahead and shout out the number. Tell me, what's the most you've ever gotten?
Three?
That's not skipping rocks. That's sinking rocks. I'm talking like, if you haven't got over 15, I don't want to hear about it. Who's ever skipped rocks more than 15 times? Y'all are bad. All right, Alex has got his hand up. This is something, it's an art, right? I'll tell you a quick funny story. We went to, I think it was Lake Victoria in Tanzania. There's islands everywhere. And this is my ignorance, I didn't know that the tide rolled in on freshwater lakes just like it does at our Great Lakes. I found that out when I went to Canada. But in Lake Victoria, the tide's rolling in. And there's you just cruise for 45 minutes, and I even got motion sickness in the boat that the missionary had. I'm getting sick, feeling like I'm on the ocean again, just like I was in the Atlantic Ocean. So I'm like, man, we got to get land soon. And off in the distance, you can see a little island pop up, and I'm talking about a little island. Our property here, there's 28 acres of property here, is larger than most of the islands that we stopped on. You can put most of the islands in our front parking lot with a little bit of peninsulas that jetted out, and that's where these people lived. And so there was one peninsula that jetted way out into the water, and I was bored. We had time to kill. We're waiting on the villagers, if we want to call it that. It was almost like a rudimentary chicken pen that was made, and that's where the people lived. They had slats nailed up, and you had to get there by boat. There's no land anywhere. And so we're bored, and they didn't want us in there until their chief came back. And they let us on top of the mountain because they believe there's spirits on top of the mountain. So that's where they let us build a church. So we're waiting for supplies. We can't go over to their little area, their corner of their, what they deemed a village or town or whatever it was. It was half the parking lot over there, and that's where they lived. The men were out fishing, and they told us we couldn't come until the evening. But they would let the kids come over and investigate what we were doing, because we're on the same island. There's no way we're going to get off and get away from them. And so I'm out, and I walk out on that peninsula, and I'm just amazed how big this body of water is. That I know I should have known about this body of water when I went through some class in school, but I didn't know about it. And so I'm there, and there's just this peninsula with all kind of flat rocks on it. And I picked up the one rock, and I'm just out there bored, and I throw a sidearm, and it skips, skip, 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 skip. And all the kids watch me like, what did you just do? And I say, all the kids, probably about 15 of them were there on the island, or that peak. And so I invited them. We didn't speak the same language. I didn't have an interpreter. So I just said, I asked them to come out like this on the little peninsula. They came out with me, and I showed them how to hold the rock, and I skipped rocks again. And they're like, they thought I was doing magic, because we learned how to skip rocks when we were young, a long distance. So you got to get it just right. The good old sidearm throw, you got to get it just right. And I'd skip them across the water, so the kids, I invited them out, and I said, come do it. And I showed them how to hold their hand without, obviously we're not speaking any language. I'm putting it in their hands, and they're starting to skip rocks, sink. They got two or three jumps in, and I was like this, you got a sidearm, you got to throw it out there. So the kids got the hang of it. They started skipping rocks. They were jetting rocks out there. And I told the missionary, I said, the island's probably going to move to another location because these guys are skipping rocks. And they just kept grabbing rocks, and they'd dig them out and skip them. And so this morning, that's what I feel like I'm going to teach you this morning, just a little bit of skipping rocks. And it's not very deep. It's actually very shallow. But these are the words of Christ, which are extremely deep, and I thought we would be coming through the parables of Jesus, and I'm telling you, I'm having to trudge my way through because he's God, and when he speaks, it's deep, right? And I can only do a little bit of justice to the word this morning, and we're only going to read one verse from this main passage, but we have to do a lot of work in other passages. So if you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to Matthew 13. We're going to pick up this week where we left off last week. We're going to talk about this parable of the hidden treasure. Now, I have to tell you, my understanding and growing up and how I understood this parable is totally opposite of what the parable actually teaches. If you're here today and you disagree with this teaching today, I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to explain to you what I believe the parable is, and because it's a heavenly story told in an earthly scene, right? And so Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's going to tell them the story. I've always had it backwards. I've always had it backwards because I read it so quickly, I didn't pay any attention to it. So I'm going to read this one passage of Scripture, And then we're going to read some other scriptures. So hold your Bibles. We're going to be going to the Old Testament as well. So we're going to keep coming back here. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to have to go back into chapter 13 just a little bit to see there's some key words that Jesus gave us, some indicators of some answers, like example, the word field. What does the word field equal to? Equals to the world. We'll see that in just a moment. So we're going to try to make it, we're going to try to break down the parable just a little bit. So let's read it together. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read today's verse, verse 44. Remember, Jesus has been preaching and he's been teaching through parables. He's been using very common things people understand. And now he gets to a place where he's speaking just to the disciples. He's speaking to them privately. He just finished explaining the wheats and the tares, or the wheats and the weeds we talked about a couple weeks ago. And now he says this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. I want to tell you the understanding and the interpretation I've always gotten was that this treasure was, and be careful, don't amen me, because I'm going to lead you down the wrong path, and I'm going to take you hopefully back to the right path. So don't amen anything I'm going to tell you. I was always taught and understood that the treasure was salvation, that it was something that we would give, if we knew the truth, we would find this truth when it was preached to us, that we would give away everything that we have, that we want to die to old self and come to Christ. That's how I understood this parable. I put me in the place of the man, and that I went and did all these things. But I started, when I was wrestling through reading this, I'm like, here's the deal. How much did I pay for salvation? How much did you pay for salvation? Can you buy salvation? No one on earth can buy salvation, so if I can't pay for it, I can't buy it. So the treasure, obviously, something's wrong with the parable when I slow down and read it. If I can't buy the treasure or buy the land, there might be something else that I'm missing in here. It might be that I'm not the man and you're not the person that buys the treasure. So I started reading, Lord, help me with this. And you read the passage, obviously, the same Holy Spirit that guided men to write this word is the same Holy Spirit will guide you to understand it if you read the Bible. Part of the problem today is people say, I don't understand the Bible. And in youth, I talked to youth this morning. How many, we got through two words of 1 John. Did y'all have 1 John in Bible study? 1 John chapter 1, we got the first two words and we never got back to the passage we were supposed to be. It is a deep, deep study. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, if you didn't come to Bible study, it's one of the deepest studies you'll ever do in your lifetime. But I promise the youth this, and I'll promise this to you. If you'll go to Bible study and if your teacher is at least diligent enough to read the lesson, just what's printed, you'll learn more about the scripture, you'll learn more about God in this study of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation than you'll ever, that you might have ever known in your entire life. You'll grow more in the next few weeks than you'll grow in your entire life if you'll come to Life Group on Sunday morning and read the material and read the Bible ahead of time. You can read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in less than 15 minutes. You can read them that quick. There's 66 books of the Bible. You can knock out those three and move your reading plan down to 63 books of the Bible that you haven't read yet. I want to encourage you to read that. But if you don't, if you miss it, guess what? You miss it and you're going to be held accountable for it. You agree? If it's been taught nearby and you miss it, you're going to be held accountable to God for it. Nobody amen that. You can amen that. So who is this man? What is this field? And what is this treasure? I always thought about, and just like the songs, and sometimes we sing praise songs, and I've told Pastor Eddie, listen, I want to stay away from the me songs, and he does. He's not one of those worship leaders. But there's so many songs, especially on radio today, we sing about all that I'm going to do for God. You ever sing those? I'm going to praise you forever. I'm going to do all this, and it's all about me, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow. Get a stomach virus and see how you feel about praising the Lord, right? It'll be the furthest thing from your mind. Thank you, God, for this stomach virus. You don't do that. You process through getting better, but through the Holy Spirit in you, then you can understand, listen, God, because of salvation that you give to me, because of the Holy Spirit in me, I am able to praise you through whatever it might be. I will bring you praise because of you. I will praise you because of you. Because of you in me, I can praise you. It's pretty amazing to think about, isn't it? So God says, I will save you, and we say yes to God. God says, I will give my spirit to you. We say yes to that, amen. And then God says, I will cause my spirit within you to praise me, to bring glory back to me. It's pretty amazing to think about God. He does the work for you and for me. Well, here, let's go back and find out who this is. Again, the kingdom of heaven. And remember Jesus, when he came preaching, he said, listen, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. And who is representing the kingdom of heaven? None other than whom? Jesus himself, Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So then he comes back and he says, I'm here. And then he tells his disciples, the kingdom of heaven is like, all right, he's putting it side by side now. The kingdom of heaven is like, what is it like? A treasure hidden in a field. So what is this treasure? Put the treasure, hang it over here. We're going to go look at, we've got to go find what the treasure is. There is an answer in the Bible. Treasure in the field. Go back and hold your place. If you want to do a little bit of research, go back to just a few verses back. Verse 38, when he was explaining the other parable, he says this, the field is what? The world. So let's go back and put it to 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. Okay, let's back it up. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in the world. Would you agree with that? If we go along with his teaching, if it's systematic teaching, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in the world. All right? What happens to this treasure in the world? We still don't know what the treasure is. So we know the field is the world, which a man found and hid for joy over it, comes and sells all that he has and buys the field. He buys the world. Hey, you can't buy the world. Who is the only person that could buy the world? The one who has enough to afford the world, would you agree? Well, then that slides us right into something that, who did something for the entire world? For God so loved the world, the field, that he gave his only begotten son, or one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Back in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? And really, if you keep going, in the fullness thereof, everything that he made. So it was his, and it's not just a planet, not just the dirt. He comes in John 3:16, he's talking about the world, the people, you and me. For God so loved us. Right? Everybody that's ever lived. But yet he points out a treasure, and then he, next verse in verse 45, we'll get to next week, he points out a pearl of great price. And I want you to see something today. This treasure, if you go back and study, he does it in order. And remember, Jesus is, when he speaks, he can speak about things in the future, but also in the present, and also in the past. He's God, he has all wisdom, all knowledge, so when he speaks, sometimes we just kind of scratch the surface and skip the rocks and think, what's he saying? But here he's speaking, he's looking back, he's looking present, and he's looking future when he speaks about this passage. It's amazing to think about. So the field is the world. And we know that John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world, that's all of us in the world, that he gave his only begotten son. So we could easily, quickly, if we just jump to conclusion, say, well, okay, that's us. We're the treasure. We're not the treasure. We're not the treasure. You got to keep looking because, listen, remember, systematically, he's going to come in, and I'll go ahead and give you next week's sermon, so if you don't come, you can know this ahead of time. The church, you and me, the body of Christ, is the pearl of great price. We're next week. This week, it leaves us with a question of who's the treasure? The treasure is, I'll tell you in just a moment, who's the man? God, Jesus himself has come. The man has come to buy the field. So we understand the field is the world. We understand the man is Jesus in this parable. So it's not me. I've had it backwards. It was taught backwards. My understanding was backwards all of my life. So I understand that the man, so let's read it. Let's put the context clues that we have. We asked the youth this morning, did they understand what context clues and blues clues? Y'all remember that? A clue. We had to watch all that stuff. Anybody know that, what I'm talking about? You know that? No? All right, so here we go. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure, which we still got a question mark on treasure. Kingdom of heaven is like treasure in the world, which Jesus found and hid, and for joy over it comes and sells all that he has. He death on a cross, right? Read 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Paul explains it deeper. Death on the cross that he has, and he buys the field. So we talk about being redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God owned everything. You were God's creation. When Adam and Eve sinned, we call that original sin, they separated themselves from God forever. If you eat of that fruit, you shall surely what? Die. They died spiritually that day. God's eternal plan was to reconcile man to himself and himself back to man by sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the earth. When Jesus came to the earth, who did he come for? Be careful. Who did he come for? We say sinners, right? But he tells us he came for some people in order. Today there's a big argument. Should America support Israel? right? And you have your feelings or whatever feelings you might have. Should America support Israel? The answer is, let's see what the Bible says. How about that? Because you have your opinion, right? Sometimes you have your opinion just because mama has that same opinion, right? Or just because daddy has that opinion, that's your opinion, and that's how it goes. Or because back in the day, son, that's how it was, and that's how it is. What does the Bible say? Let me give you a first truth. Truth number one is God cannot lie. Truth number one is God cannot lie. Hold your Bible and go to Numbers chapter 23, just one verse, Numbers 23, 19. And it is important to turn there because God might speak to you through the Word of God in something I don't say. He might say something to you through the Word that's there He wants you to see. Numbers 23, verse 19. Obviously, this is Old Testament. Obviously, this is something when Balaam, this is his second prophecy, he comes in and he says this. And I just want to remember, anytime we read one verse, you have to go back and read the verses before and the verses after to get it in context, okay? But I want to show you a truth found in Scripture. Numbers 23, verse 19. The Bible says, God is not a man. Are you listening to me? He's not a man that he should. He's going to explain a little bit, but I want you to understand that God the Father is not a man. Now, we got some good friends that are Mormons, and they teach that God the Father is a man, God the Son, Jesus, is a man, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit is separate. God is not a man. God the Father does not have flesh and bone. John 4:24 says, we must worship him. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God does not have bones, ears, hands. He don't have all that stuff. He's a spirit. God the Father. God the Son has what we have today in a glorified body because he forever changed who he was to come to earth to buy back the people and buy back the world. He forever took on a body of flesh and blood for you and for me because of our sin, because of our mother giving birth to us. We talked about celebrating mothers. Because mama gave birth to you, you are a sinner. The end. Chinese, Indian, African, American, because mama gave birth to you, you are a sinner. There's no way of getting away from that. And because you are a sinner, you're in need of a Savior. And the Bible says that God sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, to save those which are lost. We hear this so many times, and we go, yeah, I know that story. But yet we don't ever put it together fully, because if we fully grasped our salvation, we would celebrate Jesus every single day, every single moment. We just praise him. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for this. And I told our youth this morning, and I'll say it to you, you're a Christian. You say that you're a Christian. You should be the very person that people go to and say, I don't understand this passage in the Bible. Would you explain it to me? And most of us look like this. Can you tell me about this treasure? I said this to him, and I don't mean this. I mean this in a very positive way. If I was a Muslim, I would be part of ISIS. They're living out the Quran. They're told either convert or die, right? If you read the Quran, and I don't recommend you reading the Quran, read books about the Quran, read conservative men who have read it, who understand it, or former Muslims who are now Christians. But they're told to either convert or die. So I respect, listen, this sounds so counterproductive. I respect the men who are in ISIS killing people that are Christians because they're living out their faith. They really believe what they've believed. Now, I think they're animals and brute beasts, okay? I think they're following a false god. Satan has empowered them. And I believe Muslims are absolutely going to hell unless they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, just like us today. So I think they're brute beasts. But if you're going to follow a religion and say that you believe that, doggone it, believe it to the point of going to death for that religion. Today, we as Christians say that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we won't even tell our doggone families about the love of Jesus Christ. Well, that preacher, they're my family, so hard to tell about Jesus. They don't want to invite me over because I share Jesus. My friends at church, my friends at school, my friends, and we make all these excuses for not sharing Jesus. For God's sake, stand up and live for Jesus Christ. Stand up and die for Jesus Christ if it means that. But quit being a doggone, and I won't say what I want to say, but quit being a wimp. Quit calling yourself a Christian if you don't read the Bible. Quit calling yourself a Christian if you don't pray. I would even go to the point, quit calling yourself a Christian if you don't give to the work of the Lord through your local church. Just stop it. God is sick and tired of the church. We are, by the way, just for you to know, we as Town Creek and other churches or the church, I believe we're in the church age of Laodicea. When God looks down on us, he says, listen, you're neither hot nor cold. You make me want to vomit. That's where we are today. And don't look at me so surprised. If you got something to say, come to me after church and tell me what you read this week and what God said to you in your word. Not just your Sunday school lesson, not just your life group lesson, not just what you had to study to teach today, but you come and tell me what God's doing in your life. You tell me the people that you're actually sharing Jesus Christ with. You tell me about the waitress or waiter that you served you last night that you prayed for. You tell me about the things God's doing. And if you did those things and you're doing those things, you'll say amen to this and say, we need to get more on fire. Paul told Timothy, fan the flame that was in you, that is within you. If we've been given the Holy Spirit, we have a flame within us. But what we're doing is just putting a little bit of bushel. Hide it under a bushel. What's the answer? No, I'm going to let it shine. What a lie. We've been lying since we've been little. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, what are we going to do? I'm going to let it shine. And then we did this as kids, right? We let it shine, let it shine, let it hide. This is how we're living Christianity, y'all. The National Day of Prayer, we all knew about it. It comes every year at the same time. There were about 150 to 200 people at Odell Weeks that showed up. I don't know that I saw any one of y'all there. Maybe you were there and I didn't see you. But listen, I want to tell you, out of all the churches in Aiken, out of everyone who calls themselves a Christian, out of everyone who says, I'm sick and tired of the sinful lifestyle, I'm sick and tired of all the stuff. Now, you might have been other places. You had to work. You had to be places. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying there was one at lunch. I missed that one. So if you're there, amen, right? And there was one in the evening. I'm not saying just to show up because be counted, but stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ. If someone has a question about the Bible, you should be the resource. I want you to write something down. If you have a question about anything, and I don't agree with everything that's on here, so I'm putting you out there on a limb to check and fact check. Be a Berean. Search the scriptures. But there's a place that can help you if you've got a question about anything. It's simply called this, gotquestions.org. Gotquestions.org. It's on the internet. And you can type a search engine, and so if you have something that has an answer to it and it kind of confuses you, make you scratch your head, go and ask, and I'll help you do research. If you have questions, we have a questions and answers page on our website that we want you to, we entertain your questions, send your question in, we'll try to get an answer for you. If it's a mystery of God, we won't have it. It's a mystery, right? If God hasn't told it or revealed it, we won't reveal it if we can't find out in Scripture. So, where were we? That's another message. That's, all right, message number two. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, and he will... And has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So when God speaks in the Old Testament, we have a record of God speaking through the prophets. When God speaks, it's as good as done. It was done in the past, and if it's relevant, it'll be done throughout the future. Would you agree? So if God can't change, God can't lie. God, in the Bible, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forevermore. Then God is stable. God is dependable. God is a pillar. So when God speaks, he tells us this story. He tells this story in Joel. You go back into research a little bit, look about the coming of the Messiah. God said he would come. Now, who did God promise that through his lineage, he would bless the nations? Do you remember? There's a story. We teach it to kids when they're little. We sing a song. It starts like this. Father. All right, brought you up. So go back. Let's go look at Father Abraham. Why don't you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to look at a couple of different things. Genesis chapter 12. So truth number one, God cannot lie. Truth number two, God keeps his promises. And I'll give you a verse for that. And here I want you to see, listen, there's a promise to people. Genesis chapter 12. Here we go to Abraham, or Abram at the time. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Just for a side note. Side note. Beep. Is Abraham a Hebrew at this time, or is he a Jew, or set aside part of Israel right here, right now? He's far from God. His family are pagan, right? He's far from God. But God reaches down and he chooses him and says, Abram, listen, I want you to pack it up and head somewhere I'm going to tell you to go. What does he do? But Lord, where are we going? No, the Bible says he was accounted his righteousness, right? His faith in God. He packs it up. God's doing a new thing in his life. God says, pack it up, let's go. Get away from your family. So God is creating a nation. He's creating a generation of people out of a man who's from a pagan lifestyle. He's taking him from this lifestyle, from a Gentile, as we call it today, lifestyle, to become the father of the Jews. Today, we as Christians go back and say, Father Abraham, we sing the song. Muslims will go back and say, Abraham is our father. Jews will go back and say that Abraham is our father. How do we all get it mixed up? We don't. We have it right. If you go back and study everything that's there is a study, we have it right. You come back and see, and we'll see. We're grafted. By the way, you're a Jew. You've just been grafted in. Right? You've been adopted into the family. Jesus was a Jew. So if you don't like Jews, get over yourself today, right? And get right with God. But watch this. So verse 2, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. I will make you, what? A great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who do what? Bless you. And I will curse him who does what? Curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And every family that we talk about that has any kind of religious know-how or want to will go back and call Abraham our father. It's pretty amazing that it's still happening today, is it not? We're still arguing over who's right, but we'll all argue. If you have a Jew, a Muslim, and a Christian right here, we'd all Imam, Pastor Clint, and a rabbi, we'd all agree that Abraham's our father. That's one thing we could agree on. And then it goes haywire after that. But come back, let's get full circle to today's passage. Back to Matthew 13, 44. The man is who? Jesus. Come on, help me. The man is who? Jesus. The field is what? The world. The people, right? People of the world. And this is the kind of cool thing about Jesus. You ever been somewhere and you bought something and didn't know it was on sale? And it got either discounted or the lady said, you can buy two of them. Or the man said, you can get two of those for the price of one. Buy one, get one free today. You ever had a bonus buy like that where you got excited? Like, yeah, I got something for free. And you want to spend more money? That's the intent, right? Well, this is the bonus buy. So the man is Jesus. The field is the world. But this treasure specifically is the Hebrew people. It's the chosen people of God. Does that make you feel bad? You're coming next week. The Pearl of Great Price is coming next week. So this is the first, remember, God, and you say, well, I don't believe that. I'm totally against it. Go to John 1. Go to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. John 1. And I want you to see this. John 1, beginning of verse 1. Follow with me. God's chosen people. Remember, God said he's going to make a generation or a nation out of Abraham. There's other Old Testament passages we can read, but I want you to read this. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and that's Jesus, by the way, J-E-S-U-S. The Word is capitalized in most Bibles. So in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was or is God. Jesus is God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So what did Jesus not make? I should ask that in the positive, shouldn't I? What did Jesus make? Everything. I gave you a double negative there, didn't I? All things were made through him, and without him, Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Here we go, Jesus coming to earth. Now he's going to transition the story. John's going to tell us a little bit here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that's Jesus, that all through him might believe. Now, John was not the light, or John was not Jesus, but he was sent to bear witness of Jesus. That was the true light, or Jesus, which gives light to every man coming into what? The world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, through Jesus, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Who was his own initially? Salvation is first for the Jew and then the Greeks or Gentiles. Depends on what translation you have. Jesus came to his treasure first and his treasure rejected him, right? His treasure rejected him and crucified him. Now, we say that we understand the understanding is that we were there as well. When Jesus was crucified that day, you and I crucified him because of our sins, right? You agree? Because of our sins were put on him. But he came first and foremost to the Jew. Salvation is for the Jew and then the Greek, or the Jew and then the Gentile. And by the way, you're a Gentile today if you're not Jewish. Anybody have a Jewish background? It's a very interesting thing if you do. You've got a great heritage. But listen, he came for his treasure, and his treasure initially was his own. All right, let's keep reading, and then we'll see this. He came to his own. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but how? But of God. Then it tells you about him becoming flesh. So Jesus is the man. He pays the ultimate price with his life, right? Death on a cross, to save his chosen people. And when his chosen people reject him, what does he do? Does he kick him to the curb? There's a thing called replacement theology today that people are saying, listen, Jesus took the Jews and he punted them. He's punted Israel, poof, because they rejected him. And now that we as Christians have replaced Israel. That's not truthful theology. God still has a plan. God still has a plan for his chosen people. Whether you like it or not that the Bible talks about God's people being chosen, you're just going to have to get over it. The Jews were God's chosen people. Not so much because they were so much better or very good people, because they were wicked people. They would constantly go away from God, back to God, away from God, to God. And when he would punish them, they would come back, and then they would stray away again. So they were people who were hard-headed, stiff-necked people. Yet God chose them to bring glory to himself. He said, well, I don't know if I don't believe that. Hold your place. One more time. Let's go back and find the truth. The truth that God keeps his promises. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I told you we'd do a lot of working this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Beginning verse 1. There's a bunch of ites in here. I'll see if I can get through all of them. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, so that the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. What if we stop right there? Let's keep going. The Lord God has, what does your Bible say? Let's say it louder. For Lord God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure. Y'all got it? This is how good God is. He can say it thousands of years before. He said it again 2,000 years ago. He can say it long before it actually come to being. He saw, remember, time is no time with God. So God sees these people. He sees a chosen people. Why did he choose them? It didn't seem fair. It seemed like God gave them something he didn't give us, right? That's how we stand today. We're a bunch of whiny behinds, right? We always cry, it's not fair. You got more than I did. Why wouldn't I do? Or whatever. Let's keep reading. Verse 6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all the peoples, all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out of a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. Listen, this is key. This is the truth found right here. Who keeps his covenants, right? So God cannot lie. Truth number one. Another truth is God keeps his promises or his covenants. He cannot lie. He keeps his covenants and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. If you never figured out that God has chosen Israel as his chosen people, you missed it. You missed it. Israel is still on God's radar. Remember, up to 1,000 generations. Has there been 1,000 generations since this word was spoken? Since this time? There has not. And God's using it just as a picture to show you it's forever. I'm telling you, I'm going to keep my promise. So here we go. Let's go back and find out now. Let's go back to Matthew and let's put all the pieces together. And I've done, again, skip rocks. I apologize to you this morning. We've skipped rocks. But let's read it now and try to put the clues, right? Put the clues in. Let's get blue. Here we go. Never thought Blue's Clues would come into a sermon, but here we go. Let's put the clues into what we understand. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. So the kingdom of heaven is like the Jewish nation or the Jewish people or the Hebrews that are in the world. Okay? Follow me? Which a man, which Jesus found and he hid. Well, that don't make much sense. Except for, we read John 1:1. He came into his own and his own did what? Received him not. They rejected him. Crucify him. They shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were calling him Messiah. And then just a few days later, they're saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And then he was crucified. And you would think, like say, me and you would say, away with those people. But God still has reserve. He covered them back over, right? He hid them just for a while when they rejected him, because he was living when they rejected him. He covered them back over, and then he went to death, even death on the what? Cross. And what happened next was he bought the whole land when he went to the cross. Amen? And you're going to see next, what happens is next week, we're going to see the church, because of God's plan, because of this mystery that no one else knew much about, there's this mystery called the church we're going to find out. The real church, the bride of Christ, is going to come on the scene, and God thinks of you and me as a great priced pearl. I can't wait till next week to share that with you. What I want you to understand is this passage of Scripture for me, for many years, has been messed up because I put myself in some situation that I shouldn't have been in. And maybe you read from that understanding from the Scripture that it's all about you. It's not. If you go back and read Scripture, from the Old Testament, it said Jesus Christ is coming. In the New Testament, when we get there, it says Jesus Christ is here. He's going to die, and he's coming again. And then we know in the future, as we fill through, we finalize, go through what you're going to be studying in Life Group, in Revelation, in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, that he says he's coming, and then he's going to tell us about the new heavens and the new earth, how we're going to be with him forever, and how we're going to praise Jesus for all of eternity. It's pretty amazing to think about, isn't it? And during the tribulation time, the Jewish nation is going to turn back to, they're going to be deceived by the Antichrist for 3.5 years. They're going to rebuild the temple. And listen, here's some good news. Israel today, if you read it or listen to it, every block, think of every brick and everything that's made to make this building. Every block is already cut out, has been hewn out and is in storage right now. Every block to build the temple is in storage right now. They're just waiting for the go-ahead. Now, where is the temple going to be built? You ever seen a picture of Jerusalem, that little shiny golden thing that pops up? It's going to be built on the Temple Mount. Every stone is ready to go. They're waiting on go. Every priestly garment from the Old Testament has been remade based on what they understand the garments look like and what they were made from. Talk about red heifers and all these things that's happening. Everything that has to be fulfilled up to this point is waiting on standby. And just 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Muslims of the area have now given, they have custodial control of the Temple Mount. Because the Muslims call it a holy place as well. The Jews call it a holy place, and Christians, we call it a holy site because it's where we understand from Scripture where the temple will be rebuilt. The Muslims in the area who had custodial control over that area have just now released that control. They're releasing that control to the Muslim population worldwide. So what happens when you take a very ultra-conservative, anti-Jew group and you put it in the hands of moderates and maybe non-practicing and just ones in terminology? What's going to happen for that area eventually? We will trade you this, right, for peace. If you'll drop down your weapons, if you'll do this, we'll trade you this for that. Y'all, I think we're standing right here on the very corner of Christ's return. I believe we're right here. He's knocking on the door. And I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm trying to get you excited and tell your friends and neighbors about Jesus Christ. He's knocking on the very door. We're standing right here, right now, on the return of Christ. Is it scary? Well, it's kind of, it's kind of gives you that, woo! I don't fully understand it, but I'm ready for it because I'm saved, sanctified, and I'm going up, right? When, even if I die and go down, I'm going up. That's what the Bible says, the absence from the body, present with the Lord. I'm going up. See, and if you're a Christian, you're going up. But listen, take somebody with you. Take somebody with you. You can't leave it behind. That's just stuff, and it's going to rust, and moth's going to eat it. It's going to turn to dirt. But you can't send it on ahead. Amen? And to Jews today, Jews are not being saved today just because they're chosen people. If a Jew dies today, that Jew goes to hell, just like a non-Jew. But what's going to happen is there's a generation of Jews that God is saving. And you think about people are flying from Russia. All the Jews are coming back from Russia, from Ethiopia. They're coming back to the homeland. And listen, Israel was not a nation until recently. The prophecy was fulfilled in 1948, I think it was, wasn't it? 47, 48. They became a nation again. That was prophetic that it actually happened. America has always been an ally with Israel. Because not because, well, it is because it's the Middle East. We have allies. But what's happening today in our government, in our White House today, you see friends of Israel, you see enmity with Israel. You see the stirring that's happening. Listen, God's at work and the devil's at work. But I want to tell you, we as your pastor and we as a church, if we put a foot forward, we would stand and say we stand in support of Israel. Not in their government, not in their immoral lifestyles, because there's Jews who are immoral as anyone else, right? There's prostitutes, drug dealers, you name it, that are Jewish. But we stand together saying those are God's chosen people. We pray for them for their salvation, but we know that they have to come the same way. We all have to come. John 14:6 is very clear. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No man comes to the Father except through me. And we get into that time of tribulation. We won't be here. I don't believe, my understanding from the Word of God, we won't be here. I won't be here. You might be. If you are, tell me how it is. Well, you won't see me anymore. Sorry, if you're here, wait, I understand. If you're here through the tribulation, I won't see you ever again. And you say, well, that's a different message for a different day. But here's what I want to tell you. Listen, we stand with Israel today and pray for the peace of Israel, right, of Jerusalem. We pray for those people, just like we pray for our neighbors here, that we pray they'd come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But God's not through with Israel today. He's not just punted them out of the way, they're gone, and now we've replaced them. We have not replaced Israel. But God has this hidden treasure that's still covered. Remember, he came to his own, he bought it, he bought the entire field. Not just that treasure, he bought the entire field, which is the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we benefit because God chose to come to his great treasure. They didn't receive him, so he just hid them for a while. And then the great tribulation that's going to happen, they're going to turn to him in mass. They're going to say, Jesus Christ was our Messiah. And there's still a future work that God's going to be doing. So you're not left out. God loved you so much that he gave his only son as well. If they benefit, guess what? We benefit even greater because we have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us and around us as a promise today. We're uniquely different than they are, but we have a personal love relationship with the God of the universe. Act like it. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, today, there's so many things on our mind and so many things I know that I left out of this sermon today that are pertinent and that are important. But Father, we gather today saying that we have don't fully understand your ways because your ways, the Bible says, are much higher than our ways. Our understanding from the Word of God is sometimes confusing if we don't read it and try to read it in context and try to put it together. Come what may today, Father, we want to tell you thank you for salvation. Thank you for your great plan of sending Jesus Christ to this earth to save sinners, of which I am chief. But Father, I thank you for that salvation that I can know, that I know, that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die, and I can say it with a song in my heart. I can sing that Jesus Christ paid it all, and all to him I owe, because Lord, even though when you were buying that great hidden treasure, you were also buying that great pearl of great price, and you're also throwing out that dragnet we're going to talk about in a couple weeks. You are such a gracious, good, loving Heavenly Father. My prayer today is this. If we came in this building today and someone's here not experiencing the true love of Christ, found only in a personal relationship with you, If their life is always down and depressed and they can't figure out why life's so horrible, Father, you might be sending them through the ringer just so they could actually come to the place of meeting Jesus. I pray for my friends that are here today that do not know that they belong to Jesus Christ. I pray that they would today turn their hearts and give up, just quit. Quit trying to fight this fight, quit trying to live this life, and just fully surrender. Put up the white flag of surrender and surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for all because you loved us. Father, I also pray today for my brothers and sisters that are Christians, but hardly anybody around them knows it because they're so shallow. Their whole life is about skipping rocks. They're just getting through, got their ticket to heaven. Father, fan the flame in them. Set the Holy Spirit ablaze in their hearts that they might become evangelists, ministers, preachers and teachers of the gospel, that they would understand this stuff is really real. This is not just something we say on Sunday and live it differently Monday through Saturday. Father, this is a powerful word from you today. And Father, I pray you would actually ignite our hearts that we would lift off these pews out of this place and go share the love of Jesus Christ, even with our mamas who might not be Christians, even with our daddies who might not be Christians, even with our brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, coworkers, fellow students, professors, teachers, that we would share Jesus with those who don't know him yet. Because I believe the time is growing short. Kindle a fire within us today. And Father, for those that are on fire for the Lord, that are doing the work, Lord, continue to undergird them, bless them, give them more wood for the fire. They may chug along and share Jesus. And for those who are lost that aren't here today, my heart goes out to them. That Father, you would actually do a work in their life that we could actually share. One of us, some of us, any of us, share the love of Jesus with them. Not because we want one more person in church, because we want one more person in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, Father, we need you today. Give us wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.